is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. And now I'm going to say a sentence that I'm 100% sure I said 10 years ago. The UN weapons inspectors looking for proof of chemical weapons left the country early this morning because of the threat of an impending American attack. Yeah, that's what I said a decade ago when we were hearing about chemical weapons and Saddam Hussein. Now we're hearing about chemical weapons in Syria under the Assad regime. And yes, the UN inspectors did leave this morning, and President Obama now is talking about what we're going to do about it going forward.
We're not considering any open-ended commitment. We're not considering any boots-on-the-ground approach. What we will do is consider options that meet the narrow concern around chemical weapons, understanding that there's not going to be a solely military solution to the underlying conflict and tragedy that's taking place in Syria. But ultimately, we don't want the world to be paralyzed. And frankly, you know, part of the challenge that we end up with here is that a lot of people think something should be done, but nobody wants to do it.
That's President Obama yesterday. Also yesterday, Secretary of State John Kerry made a speech in which he laid out why we're going to do something about it. And in the end, he also remembered those words from 10 years ago.
Our intelligence community has carefully reviewed and re-reviewed information regarding this attack. And I will tell you, it has done so more than mindful of the Iraq experience. We will not repeat that moment.
Here to talk about all this is Edward Lutvak, who is a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the author of a book called Strategy, The Logic of War and Peace. Edward, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning.
Who wins if we do send these missiles into Syria?
Well, if the missiles are purely a symbolic attack, let's say you send a few cruise missiles, they hit some sort of army depot, and you say, all right, we have punished you for using nerve gas, and now we're going to get on with it and leave you alone. If that is what happens, then there'll be no impact on the balance of power. The rebels are not going to get stronger, and so on. But I must say that listening to these statements, I feel that we are in this phase of this crisis, we're all kind of revisiting our own neuroses, our own problems in the past, with mistakes made in the past in a different country called Iraq, and so on and so forth, as opposed to focusing on the hard reality in Syria today, which is, if Assad wins, this is no longer the old Assad dictator that we have coexisted with, him and his dad, for 30 years. This is a new Assad. This is the Assad who wins because of Iranian support and because of Hezbollah support and Russian support, if one can say so. So it's a different Assad who is beholden to our worst enemies. If the rebels win, they are 1,000 different groups, and I'm sure some of them are really nice people, but the stronger element appear to be the Salafists, the ones who are, let's call them, intensely Muslim, who have been beating up or even killing other fellow Sunni Muslims for not being as extremely observant as they are. Plus, among the Salafists, there are a lot of jihadis for whom the war in Syria is just an opportunity to acquire a base to attack other places. And within them, there is the actual al-Qaeda sympathizers who the places they want to attack happens to be called the United States. These are the people, the rebels. It would be a risky business for us if the rebels were to win. It would be a costly business if Assad were to win, and therefore we have no business intervening, and we should let them get on with it.
Even though it's a civil war where 100,000 people have killed, and if the chemical weapons story that we're hearing from the administration is true, some 1,429 people, including more than 400 children, were killed.
Yes. The reason is so is because if there is a so-called responsibility to protect, this being the title, you know, our current ambassador to the UN is the advocate and the author of that. If there is, then please tell me why we did not intervene in the last years when 1 million people were killed in the Congo, the central Congo, the so-called Democratic Republic. In Congo, a million people were killed. In Congo, hundreds of people are being killed every day, and nobody says a word about intervening. Is it because there are no pictures, or is it because they're all black? Is it because they're Africans? They don't count. In other words, if we're going to roll up here and make a humanitarian argument, I will humbly defer to it and shut up. But kindly be humanitarian consistently. If 100,000 bodies are in Syria, what about the million in Congo? We have a list of places where we should be intervening. As we speak, you know, in North Korea, they're starving to death children. I don't know the numbers, but the general numbers of the last several years amount to maybe a million, and we don't intervene there. So we have a long list of places where we do not intervene. And, you know, it's not enough to have TV. The fact that there's TV pictures from Syria and the CNN and company don't bother to go to Congo, that should not be the basis of our statecraft.
I agree with you 100%. And the 100,000 who died from conventional weapons apparently didn't mean much. We, you know, 3 months ago, nobody was talking about, oh, we have to go in and do something about Syria. But after August 21st, when these chemical weapons were allegedly used, you know, 1,429 people died from chemical weapons. 100,000 died from conventional weapons. What's right. The better way to die? I don't think there is a better way to die, and
yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, mind you, President Obama, who has shown admirable restraint in refusing to intervene until now, is somewhat unfortunate position that he is under huge pressure to act in a way that I think unwise by the very people he appointed. But that is neither here nor there. The fact is he's been wise in his restraint, but he could argue, if Obama were part of this discussion, he could say, look, I realize that 100,000 were killed this way, but we, the United States, have an interest, independently of specific Syrian conditions and realities, we have an interest in discouraging the use of chemical weapons anywhere worldwide. So in other words, there's a principle here.
Yeah, I think the principle...
We can understand that.
Yeah,
the counter-argument is there's another principle, and the principle is that the United States should not be taking actions in one country which may make sense just in terms of that country, but which would have the effect of causing problems elsewhere, in this case, Russia. Syria happens to be Russia's only actual ally worldwide. And if we go and knock off Assad, we'll be knocking off their only ally. And if we do that, you can be more or less certain that the Russians will find ways of retaliating very easily. Because for one thing, between now and then and here and there, they have been quite responsible, for example, in dealing with Iran. You know, they have, in the United Nations, the Russians have gone along and voted with us on Iran. They voted sanctions against Iran.
Yep.
They have, for example, not delivered very powerful surface-to-air missiles to Iran because the Israeli Prime Minister asked Putin not to deliver them, and he didn't deliver them, even though the Iranians had ordered them and paid for them and all that kind of stuff. So the Russians are unfriendly, but not completely hostile.
Is there a threat to American security?
Oh, yes. There is a threat to American security, but only if the rebels win. If the Assad wins, it will cost us because it will be the Iranian victory. So in general political terms, it will be not a good thing for us. But if the rebels win, and they would have Syria as their base for carrying out terrorist actions against the United States, and that is a far better base than they have now. So definitely.
Yeah. Frustrating. It also seems to me, Edward, and I've only got a minute left here, but it seems to me that perhaps the president should never have drawn the red line, because now that Syria has crossed it, we've got to do something.
Right. Well, he has been criticized for that, but again, you know, I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't call myself an Obama supporter, but in his defense, you have to remember the circumstances. He was being barraged with demands of intervening immediately.
Yep.
And so for him, this was a retreat position, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Edward, I appreciate your joining me here today.
Good.
Thanks so much
Thank
for your
you.
Expertise. Edward Lutwak is the Senior Associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the author of Strategy, The Logic of War and Peace. We'll keep covering this story for you as America Weekend continues. America.